what inspired the idea of an all-glass doubles court?
Well, I personally have been thinking about an all-glass doubles court for well over a decade. And we started actually with a group here in Toronto. A fellow named Michael Drummond and I paired up and shopped it around, had some designs from Gordon Anderson. A couple of members fronted us some money to do some research at from the Cambridge Club downtown Toronto. A guy named Steve Kazaw and another guy named Leo Pigal. Steve was actually here tonight. And that was, it was a lifetime ago, but got to the point where we had drawings, and I think the interest started to sort of incubate there. And then, you know, we had other things to do. We had a pro tour to run and lots of new events, and it got sidelined for a while until we realized, certainly in my stepping away from the pro tour and Victor stepping into being the supporter that he has been, that we needed to look at next steps. And the glass portable glass court or the all-glass court were sort of one and the same, really, because we really felt that the next step was to film the game and see if we could film it properly. Singles has made huge inroads in filming and doing a great job, and better and better networks want to carry it. So we felt like doubles had at least as good an opportunity. So it's really kind of a toss-up between, do we do the portable, do we do the all-glass court? And then I partnered up with Jonathan and Jamie here and thought, well, it was a perfect venue, right? It's a great event venue. It's in really the center of squash in North America, is Toronto. So this is where we are. Now we have one, and we're filming.
So being the first in the world, can you see it taking off elsewhere?
Yes, I think so. I think if you ask the players tonight how the court played, they'll, to a man, say it plays true, plays arguably nicer than a regular court, but there's also the sense of space that you're almost outside. You're not confined. I know when I go and play on other courts now, I feel a little bit confined, a little bit trapped, and I want to go outside. And I really feel like our court is very much outside.
I mean, the traditional doubles courts are almost like a dungeony kind of feeling too when you arrive, so this brings the audience into it.
It's not distracting at all for a couple of reasons. There's, in this center in particular, as you would have if you put a court outside, there's a lot of ambient noise. So when something is consistent and ambient, you tend to dial it out. You dial that out and you dial in. And then secondly, on a glass court, you'll find this in the singles court as well, is your eye automatically adjusts to whatever the ball is rebounding off of. Not to mention that the technology in the wall allows for a certain amount of cloudiness out and clarity in. But it's really your eye picking up on where that ball is. It's creating an angle, and you know, after a few hits, you're dialed right into the court.
Speaking of the ambience and the crowd here tonight has been pretty amazing.
Well, this place in general has a great vibe. It's busy all the time in the evenings. We've got our urban squash program here now. We've got a sort of a flourishing membership, and it's just that rawness and the energy of the space really creates a great vibe. So as far as all the events are pretty much the same, I would have to say, however, that this one was a little bit special, being the only all-glass doubles court in the world. And I can't not mention also that sort of the irony of the situation and the relationship between Victor and myself. I've always been one to try and live outside of the box, very unconservative, and just trying to push the boundaries and see how we can come from outside and grab the sport and pull it out. And Victor is more old school. I don't know if he's necessarily inside the box, but he's 95 years old, and yet it's him driving this. So this evening when we're watching the matches, he says, the music's kind of loud, and he was making all of these sort of old school comments about the sport. And I turned to him and I said, this is your fault. This is what you've created, right? Which is kind of interesting. He looks at me knowingly, like he can't help himself. He's like a kid, he's two people. Oh yeah, I mean, it was a foregone conclusion. He initially actually funded the NSA. He gave us our first lump of money, helped us out here, and we built a bunch of singles court. He was beside himself because he thought we were going to build the doubles court right away, but it was a better business model to build the singles first. And then he stayed on board. He kept helping, kept supporting, and then when it came to build the doubles court, he basically said, spare no expense. You got to dig down. You got to create a pit. You're gonna do it once. You're gonna do it right. So it's really his design. So the whole way through and through, even the center itself is he's been a major supporter of. So it's the very least that we can do for him. I think everything but the breakdancers is what he envisioned.
And the loud music.
Yeah.